10 a.m. to 6 p.m., Monday through Saturday. Located at 8275 U.S. 1, Port St. Lucie.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Isn't it about time that we protect every human being, including the preborn? Go to personhoodflorida.com today and sign the Sanctuaries for Life petition to encourage local, state, and federal officials to protect every innocent human life. Again, that's personhoodflorida.com.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Pastor Brian Longworth.
This Sunday and next Sunday are known as Sanctity of Human Life Sundays. And we are going to turn our attention to protecting and the need to protect every innocent human life. And it's interesting because really Roe versus Wade was overturned. And some people think, well, hey, we don't really need to do anything because Roe versus Wade was overturned. We've already won. And there's other people that say, well, you know, we have in the state of Florida, we actually have a 6-week ban. Now, we've gone over in the past that really we don't have a 6-week ban. That 6-week ban does have exceptions for rape, incest, and human trafficking that allow abortion all the way until the 13th week. And that ban also allows exception for not only the life of the mother, which, by the way, it's never necessary to purposely kill a preborn child to save the life of a mother. Sometimes it is necessary to actually remove the baby through delivering the baby prior to the full term. And in those cases, and that's necessary to save the life of the mother sometimes, but in those cases, the doctor should do everything they can within the technology that we currently have to save both lives. And really, true doctors do this every day. But this not only allows for abortion to save the life of the mother, but also the health of the mother all the way up until the moment of birth. So our ban isn't quite as good as it really should be, because every single human being, even those that are conceived in rape, even those that are conceived in incest, even those that are conceived through human trafficking, every human being is created in the image of God and deserves care. Certainly in the state of Florida, we have seen some benefits, and we've seen some babies that have been saved because of the restrictions that we have in place. But abortions continue to happen in our state. And one of the things that is happening is that women from our state are traveling to other states to have abortions. And women from our state are calling up abortion providers in the other states and also in other countries, and they're ordering abortion pills. And there's no restriction on those. Really, it's against the law, but who's going to know that this is happening? The federal government with the post office hasn't stopped this from happening. It has happened. People can call up. They can really, there's no medical exam. Women don't have to prove how far along they are. They're being prescribed these drugs far beyond the time where it is actually safe to receive these drugs. Of course, it's never safe for the preborn child to receive these drugs. But when we look at the state of abortion in the United States of America, currently there are 13 states that have total bans on abortion. The state of Florida is not one of those. There are 28 states that have abortion bans based on a gestational duration. 7 of those ban abortion prior to 18 weeks gestation. 21 ban abortion at some point after 18 weeks. And 9 states and also the District of Columbia, do not restrict abortion at all. And in fact, some of those states have actually loosened their abortion restrictions to have no restrictions, and they did so after Roe versus Wade was overturned with the Dobbs decision. One alarming trend that we're seeing in the United States also is that the number of abortions that happen each year is going up. It was going up prior to the Dobbs decision that overturned Roe, and it has continued to go up even after the Dobbs decision. In 2017, according to the Guttmacher Institute, that's the kind of the research arm of Planned Parenthood, the leading abortion provider, not only in the United States, but also in the world. According to the Guttmacher Institute, in 2017, there were 862,320 abortions. In 2020, that number went up to 930,160. In 2023, the number climbed to 1,035,360. And in 2024, the number climbed to 1,050,660. There have been a total of around 70 million preborn children killed by abortion in the United States of America. And this is something that really we don't know the full numbers, because abortion is largely a cash business. And sometimes, I don't know if you know this or not, but some businesses, when they receive cash, don't always report accurate statistics. And in fact, all of this is really just estimates, and it's estimates by really the abortion industry, because in some states, there's no requirement for the abortion providers to actually report the number of abortions that they perform. These numbers also do not include the number of abortions that are done across state lines and across country lines, actually even from other countries. And one thing that we are seeing today is that about two-thirds of all abortions are happening with the chemical drugs, and women are being told, well, you're going to have some cramping very similar to a period, yet the dosage that they're receiving of these drugs is much, much higher, astronomically higher than the dosage that would be used to induce labor. And that, if any woman has ever been through labor, induced labor, it is a hard inducement. Yet the women that go through abortion, they're actually having much higher levels of this drug and a much harder labor that they're experiencing. And so these numbers don't even include those abortion pills that are coming across state line or coming across federal line either. Really, when we look at the Bible is true, and the Bible stays the same. God is the same, and God's principles stay the same as well. Every human being is created in the image of God. We see this in Genesis 1:27. Every single human being. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So God has created every human being in his image, every single one of us. Whether you're in the womb, whether you're out of the womb, whether you are disabled, whether you're a senior, whether you're an infant, whether you're an adult, a teenager, a child, every single human being is created in God's image and should be protected. This is the reason that God actually instituted the death penalty. He instituted the death penalty in Genesis chapter 9, verses 5 through 6, surely, for your lifeblood I will demand a reckoning. From the hand of every beast I will require it, and from the hand of man. From the hand of every man's brother I will require the life of man. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man. So because we're created in God's image, God actually instituted the death penalty to protect innocent human life. He wanted to place such a high level of protection on your life, on my life, on even the life of preborn children, on the life of newborn children, on the life of adults, on the life of seniors, on the life of the disabled, so that if someone kills someone who is innocent, really, they should be tried. They should, if convicted, they should be executed. This is the biblical standard, and it's for the purpose of protecting innocent human life. We see that the psalmist talks about in Psalm 139 how God formed him in his mother's womb. In Psalm 139, beginning at verse 12, "Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them." And so here you see God actually is the one that knit not only the psalmist, but he knit you in your mother's womb, and he is knitting every single person. He has knit every single person that has ever come about, even those 70 million children that have been killed by abortion in the United States. God knit them in their mother's womb, and God had a plan for them. That plan was not for extinction. One thing also that's happening today, because of the chemical abortions, in the past, women were told, well, you really don't have a human being inside of you. It's just a blob of tissue. It's just a clump of cells. This isn't really a person yet. It's not really a human yet. And really, they didn't see their baby. And yet today, women are actually delivering their own dead baby on their own toilet. And the toilet water washes away the blood. And they see a very tiny, yet in most cases perfectly formed, human being. A human being that was God was knitting and forming in their mother's womb. About 2 inches long, that baby girl or baby boy is at that point that the mother is actually having this abortion on her own toilet. Jeremiah said, well, we see from Jeremiah chapter 1 that Jeremiah was actually called to be a prophet while he was still in his mother's womb. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." We see that John the Baptist was actually filled with the Holy Spirit while in his mother's womb. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit while John was in her womb as well. The babe leapt when Jesus came into his presence, and Elizabeth actually calls Jesus Lord, her Lord, while he was in Mary's womb. And we read this in Luke chapter 1, beginning of verse 15. We're actually going to read 15 and then also read verses 41 through 45. "For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And this is a prophecy about John the Baptist. And then we see in verse 41, and it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, it's very likely that John was also in, who was in Elizabeth's womb, was also filled with the Holy Spirit at this time. The Bible doesn't specifically say that it happened right then, but given the fact that the Bible does say that it would happen while he was in his mother's womb, and the Bible also says that his mother was filled with the Holy Spirit at the same time, or at that time, it's very likely that John was filled with the Holy Spirit at that point as well. But while he was in his mother's womb, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, you can't be just a blob of tissue and be filled with God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit. You can't be just a clump of cells and be filled with the Holy Spirit. You can't be a non-person and be filled with the Holy Spirit. John, in his mother's womb, was a human being, just like you and I are human beings, and John was filled with the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb. And we see in verse 42, then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" And so she is really declaring that Mary is the mother of her Lord. Her Lord is inside of Mary's womb at the time that Elizabeth calls him Lord. So God himself came down to earth. We just celebrated this with Christmas. God himself came down to earth in the form of a human being and actually went through the birthing process, was in the womb, and he was God, he was Lord, he was Savior, even when he was inside of Mary's womb. And we continue on, and we see here, verse 43, "But why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." So John the Baptist knew in his mother's womb that Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, God Almighty, inside of Mary's womb was present, and John for joy leapt in his mother's womb. And we see here, "Blessed is she who believed, for there shall be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." Listen, if God came down and was Lord in his mother's womb, the preborn child is alive in his mother's womb, in her mother's womb. We see also that Jesus was called Savior when he was in his mother's womb. We see this in a prophecy in the Old Testament from Isaiah chapter 49, beginning of verse 1. "Listen, O coastlands, to me, and take heed, you peoples from afar. The Lord has called me from the womb. From the matrix of my mother, he has made mention of my name." So we see that Jesus himself was called from his mother's womb. And now the Lord says, "Who formed me in the womb to be his servant." There's a capital S on servant, because Jesus was being formed in his mother's womb to be God's servant, but he was also God, to bring Jacob back to him, so Israel is gathered, so that Israel is gathered to him, "For I shall be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. So here we see Jesus being prophesied that he would be our Savior even while he was in his mother's womb. God had a plan for Jesus, and God has a plan for every human being, even those who are in the womb today. The Apostle Paul, we see, was separated from his mother's womb to preach the gospel. We read about this in Galatians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. One of the things that's interesting here, if you read the Bible, you see that Paul, before he was Paul, his name was Saul, and he was actually at war with Jesus Christ. He was actually had authority to arrest Christians, and he was even there when Stephen was stoned to death. People put their garments at Saul's feet, and he was really was a at least a viewer of that martyrdom of Stephen. And yet God had called him while he was still in his mother's womb. And in due time, God met him and God showed himself to him and revealed himself to him. And actually, we see the fulfillment of that prophecy and that calling that actually started in his mother's womb. We see the psalmist David in Psalm 51, this really probably the biggest psalm, the biggest lesson, the biggest example of actually repentance. We see this in Psalm 51, verse 5. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. So even from conception, David is saying, I was a sinner. He's not saying, hey, listen, my mother was doing sinful acts when I was conceived. No, he's saying that he was a sinner even from conception, even from the earliest biological beginning. And we see in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. And that actually happens, that actually goes, is imparted, that sin, the guilt, is actually imparted to every human being in the womb. And so every one of us needs to repent of our sins and turn to God and cry out to him. We've heard a lot in the last 6 years about listening to the science, except when the science kind of confirms things that people don't want to listen to, then they kind of ignore the science. But when we look at the science on this issue, we see that science does line up completely with the Word of God. We see that fertilization happens on day one. Conception or fertilization takes place. And really, one of the things that we see, there's actually a college that just actually captured that moment of fertilization. And lo and behold, what happened when the sperm united with the egg, there was a flash of light that happened. And in most cases, what happens is the actual cell actually forms a barrier and prevents fertilization from other sperm cells at that same time. By all the criteria of modern molecular biology, life is present from the moment of conception. That's Dr. Jaime Gordon from the Mayo Clinic. Dr. McCarthy DeMure from the University of Tennessee says the exact moment of the beginning of personhood and of the human body is at the moment of conception. Planned Parenthood has called preborn children blobs of tissue. Of course, again, mothers are now seeing not blobs of tissue, but human beings, tiny human beings in their own toilet. Dr. Jerome Lejeune, the father of modern genetics, said this, "I see no difference between the early person that you were at conception and the late person which you are now. You were and are a human being. At no time in the human being is the human being a blob of protoplasm." There's a term fetus, and this is used quite often to denigrate the preborn child, but the fetus is actually a developmental state. It's a developmental developing human from usually 3 months after conception to birth. It's just describing a development state, and when we're talking about human beings, we're talking about that human is a human being. At day 7, the tiny human implants in the mother's uterus. At day 21, the human being starts pumping her own blood through separate closed circular system, often with her own blood type. On day 28, the ears, eyes, and respiratory system begin to form. On day 42, brain waves are recorded. Reflexes are present. The skeleton is complete. On week 7, the preborn child sucks their thumb. Week 8, all body systems are present. Paul E. Rockwell, MD, handed a baby at 8 weeks gestation. The baby swam about the sac approximately one time per second. When the sac was open, the tiny human immediately lost his life. A lady on X tweeted this, "I was blessed to go to the ultrasound for my next grandbaby at 10 and a half weeks. What an amazing to see all the movement and features." God's word is true. God has created every single human being, and every single human being is deserving of life and protection. And we need to stop and to end abortion to really protect every innocent human life created in the womb, out of the womb, and really all the way until natural death. We need to actually move toward the place where every innocent human life is recognized and protected by love and by law.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com where you can give us feedback and give us a chance.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Isn't it about time that we protect every human being, including the preborn? Go to personhoodflorida.com today and sign the Sanctuaries for Life petition to encourage local, state, and federal officials to protect every innocent human life. Again, that's personhoodflorida.com.
Please listen to Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael every Saturday at 3 p.m. for encouragement from the Holy Bible for life's journey. Thank you.
I'm Minister Ezekiel Jones of Lively Stones Ministry. Join us every Saturday at 7:30 a.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Grace and peace, everyone. This is Pastor Garfield Crumby. I'm inviting everyone to join me every Saturday morning at 8:30 for the Empowerment Zone right here on WCNO 89.9 FM.